Tommy Mallett, says the listener, done more for Irish tourism on his recent tour of Ireland than any of the tourist boards have done in the last 20 years. Social media influencers, which Tommy is now, Timmy Mallett, they do their bit as well, of course, and sometimes they're engaged by the tourism boards, but definitely too, Timmy Mallett. Brings back a lot of memories from my childhood, but cycling around the place, he's done really well. I have a disability badge for my car in the Republic of Ireland. Someone said to me recently that if I'm shopping in Derry or Strabane, that badge does not cover me and I have to buy a parking ticket. Can anyone clarify if this is true? I'd appreciate that because we do get a few calls in relation to that. Right. It is time for Wellness Wednesday, and I'm joined on the programme by Bernie Doherty, who's chairperson of The Exchange. And it's the end of one of a three-year project of loving lullabies and little necessities in The Exchange in Inishowen. It does sound wonderful. Good morning to you, Bernie.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Right, so what is The Exchange?
The Exchange is a charity in Buncrana. And we set it up, myself and a few other groups set it up in Buncrana about 13 years ago. So we run a lot of community events and do a lot of community outreach. We are partnered with a mental health charity inside Inishowen, and we also have a food bank. So it's a very busy place, very busy place. We do lots of music as well. I do lots of music, and but there's everything happening there. Parkinson's wellness classes and lots of environmental events, English classes. It's a very busy place, a great wee hub of activity.
And your work through the work that you're doing, is it primarily with young families, maybe young families that are struggling, or who are you engaging with mostly?
In The Exchange, we're really engaging with the whole community, okay. Greg. It's really about bringing everybody together. It's not specifically about anyone in need. It's really just about creating events and a space where people can come together regardless of whether there's a need or not, you know, but it's just taking those barriers away as well.
But the three-year project we're talking about now, Loving Lullabies and Little Necessities, that certainly, I presume, is targeting families with younger children.
That particular one is for younger children and new families. So we were really lucky to partner with a Dublin-based charity foundation called the Catherine Howard Foundation. And they've worked up here before with Spreeoga Sport, and I think working with them again. So they funded us for a three-year project to bring music and sort of everyday necessities to new families. And the idea behind it is to create a connection between parents and their babies through the music, but then also to create a sort of level playing field for babies being born in the area. So, you know, if you are struggling to get all the wee bits and pieces together that you need, it doesn't, as you know, Greg, it doesn't belong adding up. So if we can take some of that burden away and also create some joy and anticipation through the music about how their life can be, what they hope for their child.
And what has your takeaway been from this project so far? Like, what have you seen, or what sort of makes you feel like going, you know what, we're making a difference here?
Parents have been, new families have been really, really relieved and about the baby packs that they've received and the quality. And we're kind of working on things being reusable. So rather than giving them a box of items, we're actually giving them a really nice, modern, fully kitted out nappy bag full of the stuff and extra that doesn't fit in the nappy bag, but so that they can use that as well. And that, you know, they're starting out on an even footing with people who can afford to buy all of that for themselves. They've also really been extremely joyful about the music part of it. So they've been writing lullabies for their own families, children that they might already have, the new children that they're expecting, and also lots of families taking the opportunity to write about children who maybe they never met or couldn't stay, and include them in the lullabies that they're writing for their families now. So it's been really beautiful.
Yeah,
great connection.
And, you know, obviously there can be financial challenges when your family grows, but also too, even if those financial challenges aren't present, it can be quite a lonely time, a confusing time. We presume that a new mum knows everything. You know, that, yes. that, but that is not the case. A lot of the time you're learning on the job. And as I say, maybe you don't have a support network around you. It can be a very tough, isolating time at a time everyone looks on presuming it's just the most joyous time ever.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in. And so what we found as well is people are, you know, connection is everything, really, in everything we do. It all comes down to connection. And the mums and dads who've been attending, they were really delighted to meet other new families and to get to connect with them and have the crack and write some music. And then people were happy to share lullabies from when they grew up, or maybe if they were from a different country, sharing in their own languages. So there was a lot of great chat and banter and, you know, it's been really great fun and just really positive.
And there are those that already know what you guys do, but there's a real opportunity, I suppose, on Saturday for those listening or those in the area to sort of go, all right, okay, this is like something I would like. And it's going to be like open to everyone. And it sounds like it's going to be really nice, just actually a nice thing to do with your 0 to 3 year old. So talk to me about what's coming up on Saturday.
So as well as partnering with the Catherine Howard Foundation, we're also partnered with Carnegie Hall. They started the Lullaby Project in New York, and there's a small number of international partners working with them as well. And we are one of those partners. So as part of that, like Carnegie Hall, the Exchange and the Catherine Howard Foundation, on Saturday, we're having a big lullaby celebration. It also happens in New York every year, and I was at it a couple of years ago. But so this Saturday from 11 to 1, we're inviting parents and their 0 to 3 year olds to come along. We're going to have a beautiful celebration of music, dance, lots of fun, but also some lullabies. And, you know, maybe some songs that you wouldn't think of as a lullaby, you can use, you can make a lullaby out of everything, as I'm sure you've relearned with Hudson, Greg. But,
well, I'm actually feeling that I'm feeling quite excluded. He's going to have to get a fake ID, and Gwyn is 2 years and 11 months.
You can sneak in. Anyone's welcome. If you think your child would enjoy it, you're welcome. Checking baby IDs at the door.
There's no security. All right. A lot of effort's gone into, obviously, the music and that side of stuff's lovely, Sinead, but the setting actually sounds fantastic. So talk to me how it's set up on Saturday, because I think that's going to be a lovely sensory experience for mums, dads, and the kids.
So we're going to set it up sort of like a big top. So we're going to have like, a big sort of swoop and drape on the ceiling. We're going to have lots of lights and a lovely circus backdrop, but also some circus pop-up tents for the kids to play in and ball pits. We're going to have some toys and gift bags for all the children that are coming, with books and toys and cars and musical instruments. So we're really trying to make it just a big party and a celebration of the joy that you can have with your child. You know, life can be, like you say, it can be isolating, it can be financially stressful. So if we have a chance to celebrate, we want to do that.
And it's lovely to meet other people, who've got a child the same age as yours or something. There's just something, and not everyone is cousins. You know, I mean, like, some people are lucky. We're really lucky that, you know, Hudson's got loads of cousins and all that. But you know, not everybody has that. Maybe people have moved here from a different country or moved here from a job, or maybe they don't have aunties or sisters or, you know. So it's a lovely opportunity, I think, to go in there and just chat to people as well. But also the setting sounds lovely, Bernie, and it'd be a lovely bit of music.
Yeah, and we're going to have food for the parents and tea and coffee and everything like that as well. But some babies don't even see other babies because they don't have that huge family connection that others have. So for the parents as well as the babies, it's great. The whole event is free. It's funded between ourselves and the support of Carnegie Hall and Catherine Howard. So everything is free, and we only ask that you book in so that we don't sort of extend ourselves numbers-wise, because obviously we don't want to have to turn anybody away. So if you give us a shout on social media, myself, Bernie Doherty, the Music Box page, the Exchange page, or you can email us and just let us know that you want to come along. We really can't wait. It's going to be great fun and just a really beautiful event.
Where is the Exchange, for those that aren't aware?
It's in Buncrana, and it's on Castle Avenue, so it's just off the main street. It's about a 3 or 4 minute walk from the main street in Buncrana. So, yeah, really,
I think it's going to be lovely. The weather's going to be lovely. So it's going to be a lovely atmosphere as people arrive. Mm-hmm. Then inside it's going to be lovely. And then you exit out to nice, bright weather. And hopefully people feel more connected and invigorated. It is free between 11 and 1 p.m. at the Exchange. Music, lullabies, sensory activities, play, refreshments for kids and mums and dads as well. But obviously you can understand the organisers want an idea of numbers. So free to go, but just email the musicboxireland@gmail.com, PM the Music Box on socials or the Exchange, or indeed our own Bernie Doherty here, and you'll have a lovely day. Thanks so much for joining us, Bernie, and keep up the great work.
Thanks
there.
Thanks for having me. Great
it's
to
our
get
pleasure.
The word out.
Take care. Okay, bye bye. That's in Boncrana this Saturday. A nice one, and I think they'll have a really good. I think they'll have a really good turnout there. The Scort. I'd never really understood what a Scort is until the last couple of days. But there's been a bit of a controversy. There was a protest at the weekend. The Scort, says a listener, the disparity in the way female players, camogie and football, are treated compared to their counterparts, the inclusion of males in ladies' football. Why is the GEA's big push on inclusion not addressing a culture that sees women and girls as less than? So are you a camogie player, or do you have a view on the Scort? And do you think the Scort should be done away with and shorts to be permitted instead? It feels a strange one in this day and age that there might be a dress code and that people might feel that, you know, they have to protest for the right to wear what they want to wear. So I'd be very interested in hearing anyone involved in GEA or camogie more specifically that has a view on the Scort, its use, and the fact that one must wear it. I'm not sure how comfortable they are or how accommodating they are to people's different shapes, but I would say shorts would be preferable, but then maybe there's traditionalists that like the Scort. 086 60 25,000, that's the WhatsApp and text number, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
It is Wednesday's 9 till noon show. It is the 7th of May. How are you all keeping? I do hope you're very well indeed. Just to invite you, by the way, to be in contact with us. There's lots of people text radio shows all the time, and then there's those that message infrequently, and there's those that don't message at all. And I just want to invite you, if you're listening and you have a view, we want to hear it. We love getting our regulars, but we have a fantastic family of people that text in all of the time, and then those that text in. We get a lot of interaction on this show, people who message for the first time or people who've messaged 10 times. Do you know what I'm saying? But all of your views are really, really important. So don't sit there giving out about me. Someone came up to me and says there was two people in a calf saying I was an F in this and an F in that. Text it in to me. I know it's nice for you to have a chat at the calf, but text it in to me as well. Right, yesterday we were talking about local concerns as it relates to the future of the Strand Hotel in Ballyliffin. It's been closed for a couple of years. It was offered as a location for an iPass centre, and it's no longer being considered as a location for an iPass centre. Is that the end of the story? No. Because yesterday, I think it's really important to drill into a story, and I think that's what we did yesterday. And the bottom line is that a Section 5 planning exemption is with Donegal County Council at the moment for it to be used as an iPass centre. There are a number of Section 5s for these types of properties with Donegal County Council at the moment. Donegal County Council has sought further information from the owners of the Strand Hotel. I believe it's in relation to the management of sewerage. It has housed lots of people in the past, so maybe the council might look favourably on that application. We don't know, because that decision has not yet been made. And if the council do grant an exemption, then there is nothing to suggest that it won't be considered as an iPass centre going forward. And this has caused great concern in the local community, because they believe that there's a population there odd of 90. And the population could double or even triple, theoretically, dependent on how many were put into the hotel. So it's not a plan at the moment, but foundations are being laid. That means it could happen. So it's important we talk about it, and it's important people are heard on this matter. There's a public meeting actually coming up. Cathal Doherty's owner of the Ballyliffin Townhouse Hotel and Spa. Cathal, a very good morning to you. Thank you for joining me.
Good morning, Greg. How are you? Sorry if I maybe come across as unprepared, but I only just have a a short bit. I'm 10 minutes notice here to be ready, okay?
Listen, Cal, it's just a chat, right? I'll tell you what we want is people's real views. So whatever you've got to say is more than enough for us. So there's no rules, okay? So, Cal, what's your concerns? I suppose as a member of the local community, but you're a business person as well.
Okay, Greg, I am a business person. I am an employer. But to be honest with you, the reason I'm speaking here today is I'm a resident. And that's the most important thing. I have a duty to my staff as well. My staff are worried. My staff are concerned for their jobs, as I think probably every employer in Ballyliffin is, and the wider community at the moment. What is my concerns? I suppose my concerns changed dramatically from last night to today. We were working at 4 a.m. in the village this morning by a military style operation. Lorries, cranes in the village. Now, don't forget, this is a village of 90 people, putting concrete boulders around our village. The last time I seen that, Greg, was when I drove out of Derry and went across the Cosham border.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that's happening, something that's changing. We've been watching vans.
Just one second. Caroline, could you send me the pictures of I think you sent that to me earlier, of these bollards, please. I just want to throw it up for those watching. My apologies, Cahill. You were saying the last time you saw this in Derry, and then you were going on to say what?
I mean, this is at an entrance to our village. Our village is small. It's pretty. There's ocean views. And now the first thing you see, and it's like the outside or the entrance to a prison. And I'm not kidding you. I invite people to come down.
No, I've seen what has happened
to our village this morning. This is our village. And what we are afraid is, it appears that one man, and we know it's Mark Crossan, we're not afraid to name him, he put his name on an application. And one man is going to dictate to us how we live in our village and what we see in our village and how we work in our village. And how our guests see our village. We've had a village here for years. We all work in tourism. And we've always worked together as a team. There may be three hotels here. There's restaurants, bars. We work as one. And that's what makes Ballyliffin successful. And we cannot have an outsider coming in. We need our elected officials, who thankfully so far have been working well with us. And we thank them for that. But to me, you know, there's a hotel there with Ukrainians. We had a tea party to welcome them. Great people. They're out helping Teddy Towns. They've helped and enhanced our village. But something different's happening. We don't know what it is. We can only guess. When we see cameras pulling in, or vans pulling in, put up security. Security guards there at 5 a.m. this morning. This is not what we want for our village. And I must stress, this is not just about Ballyliffin. This is about Kilmany, Kendrona, Buncrana. This is going to be a hub. I've spoken to a rural hotel in the last 24 hours, and they were contacted by the department to change from a Ukrainian centre to an IPAS centre, and they refused. And the department said to them that they're having issues, that the City West Hotel is a powder barrel ready to explode, a gunpowder barrel, and they need to distribute the residents.
In terms of... And just to sort of maybe step back a little bit from personalities, just...
Yep.
Just for this time being, till I double check absolutely everything, right? It appears to me that these bollards have been placed in parking spaces associated with the building that we're talking about, i.e. on private property. So in terms of their appearance, they don't look great, okay? I'm not going to pretend otherwise, but they do appear to have been placed on private property.
I can't really confirm or deny that. We're not sure who owns all that property, okay?
Okay.
And the point is, it's on an entrance to a village. It's on a corner, and it's a dangerous bend. Has there been accidents here before? Yes. I know there's concrete bollards sitting there. So I'd like Donegal County Council, and I'm sure they will come down and have a look at it from a health and safety point of view, if nothing else.
Right. Your concern is, I think you can forget about Tidy Towns. I know Tidy Towns is an important thing for Ballyliffin, like most towns, but this does not look pretty. We're looking at some footage of it here now. It is really quite remarkable what's going on. So, Cahill, before I move on to other guests, you're looking for clarity from the local authority, the department. It's not the Department of Justice, but the department that is responsible. Is that what you're looking for?
Greg, there's a lot of confusion here, okay? So we have called a meeting tomorrow night, okay?
Mm.
It's not just us business people. There's local residents, and we got involved to assist them. But the reason we got involved is because there was so much confusion. The reason for the meeting is to inform the local community what is actually going on. There is confusion because people saying there is no planning, and that is correct. There's no planning, and that's not on the Donegal County Council planning website. It is a Section 5. A Section 5 is a form of change of use. It does not require planning or public consultation. People cannot object. It is simply a tick box exercise. Mark Crossan has applied for a Section 5. It is highly likely that it will be granted.
I'm not sure.
We do know the sewers is an issue.
I'm not sure about that, to be honest with you, because I've looked through what has and has not been approved, and I have a sense that I believe that Section 5 won't be. But I mean, that's only my sense, and to presume that it
can
is.
Can I just say something?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
That's fine for you to say that something, Letterkenny.
I don't live
when
there.
When you're down here in Bulloch,
understood.
And you're watching cameras, lorries moving in the middle of the night,
yeah.
And you're watching a building that didn't have security for 2 years, now you're putting up security.
Fair enough.
It's slightly different for us here, okay?
Yeah, I get it. I respect that.
So we just have to look at the facts. We can't look at other people's feelings.
Yeah, I feel okay? I get you. Okay.
The Section 5, okay? So that's what's happening. As far as we can see, it's a tick box exercise. We've spoken to local councillors and they said if he ticks the boxes, he gets it. Okay, it then moves to the department. Will the department give him a contract? It is estimated the Strand will take 170 residents. The village sewers, we have various of us, is running into the ocean at the moment. There is loads of issues. The mech issues. Our own residents in Ballyfermot are living in inflated rent or in caravans.
Mm-hmm.
We need to sort out our own residents first. Ballyfermot cannot take another 170 residents. It's a trouble. We can go from 90 to 260.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Okay.
Now, the letter that came from the department, I said it was no longer under consideration.
No, but that doesn't mean
of
nothing.
Of course
that
it wasn't under consideration because he didn't have an application for an IPAS centre.
Yep.
So it can't be under consideration. And unless I'm mistaken, Greg, you can correct me, the department who issued that letter is no longer responsible.
No, you're 100% correct. Yeah, it's a different department.
It's moved to the Department of Justice on the 1st of May.
No, so I would get that. I would get, and I can say this sitting in Letterkenny, though not from here, that doesn't mean anything at this point because that was a chapter.
Not at all.
That's a chapter, and we're in a new chapter now. So I don't think anyone should take any lead from that one way or other. Cahill, I've loads of people to speak to. I appreciate your time. Thank you for it. And I'll obviously mention when this meeting's taking place. That's Cahill Doherty, owner of the Ballyliffin Townhouse Hotel and Spa. Sean Keogh's owner of Ballyliffin Lodge and Spa. He's with me also on the show, Sean. I mean, there's going to be a duplication of concerns. I understand that. But we want to get as many voices on this as possible. You would share Cahill's concerns, I presume. And anything further to add, Sean?
Good morning, Greg. Yeah, 100%. It's of a very, very deep concerning circumstances that we saw this morning down at the Strand Hotel. It's right smack bang in the middle of the village. It's on three approach roads. It's your pass there going down to the beach. It's wild looking, to say the least.
I think it's probably, if the council haven't already been asked, I think it's important that they ascertain that these blocks can be placed there because they're on both sides of the road in certain areas. And whilst some are in car parking spaces, others seem to be encroaching on what you'd imagine is a footpath. So I think the local authority or whomever has a responsibility here needs to check what's going on there. Would you agree?
Yeah, I believe the council was out this morning. I haven't had any feedback yet, but I had a missed call there just before, so I'm sure we'll hear something back. Whether they can do anything or not, I don't know.
Is this another layer of concern you had? Were you already concerned about the possibility of this becoming an IPAS centre, and is there now renewed concern at the impact visually and in terms of parking availability, etc., the installation of these bollards has had? Because it happened in the middle of the night, overnight.
Yeah, it happened at 4 in the morning. Yeah, we're 100% concerned. The whole village is concerned. People aren't sleeping. People aren't sleeping. Old people, young people are concerned. Young people who are in Australia, they want to move back home. They're concerned. Everyone's concerned. Why wouldn't they?
Mm.
In a rural village with 90 people in it. Doesn't make any sense. There's photos of sewerage going into the sea. Where's the public health here?
Mm.
Where is the public health? All the time, the water pipes are bursting. during the winter, electricity outages near enough every week. It's all documented. We've no broadband, we've no fibre. And we're going to treble the size of the population. Madness. Absolutely bloody madness. We all need to stand up and no to this high-class centre.
All right. There is a meeting taking place on Thursday, 8 p.m. in St. Mary's Hall. Thank you, Sean, for your contribution. Kieran Doherty is owner of Nancy's Barn in Ballyliffin as well. It's really quite interesting, Kieran, that, you know, business leaders in the area are coming out with such a united voice with their concerns, Kieran.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for having me on. It's deeply concerning indeed. It's more of the unknown, what is happening, that is frightening everybody. And if we just knew to make a plan or what is happening, I'm a business owner and I'm also speaking on behalf of the village and family and friends who are absolutely terrified. I'm sure you hear there the guys mentioning about the overnight haulage landing. That was at 4 a.m. this morning. Now, to wake up to loud banging and seeing neighbours standing out along the streets, it was something, you know, that's not Ballyliffin. That's unheard of.
What is the function of things around here? What are the functions? I mean, obviously, the. What do you think the function of these bollards is?
Listen, Greg, you could look at it. There's many ways of looking at this. It's, you know, protection guard. Are they thinking what we're going to do or what is it? I wish we did know. But I know one thing for sure, that it's an absolute eyesore, like Cathal Doherty mentioned there. Coming into Ballyliffin, we have thousands of visitors. At this is our peak season kicked off there at Easter. We have thousands coming through this village, Ballyliffin, Clamanny, right out Malnhead, Orris. It's an absolute eyesore. As Cathal emphasised, like, we all help each other. We are a very, very close community up here in Inishowen. Like, we work really good together. As I said, like, How do we answer 160 people in the Strand Hotel, the centre of Ballyliffin? It's the centre, the first thing you see from all angles when you come into Ballyliffin, and has been for, you know, a lifetime. It's catastrophic. Like, it's an eyesore.
I think it's very important for people's emotional well-being. Or indeed, you know, from business sentiment, that there is clarity very soon, one way or other, so people know what they're dealing with. Because why is the guard? Why were the Gardaí there? Why is there security there? Why is this site now encircled with these massive concrete bollards? Like, you know, a small community needs to know what's going on, because to all intents and purposes,
reassurance, Greg. Somebody could reassure us on what grounds, like, what is happening here? Again, like, when I started there, the unknown, what is happening? You look at the older generation, like our parents, that's frightening. Young children, as I think Sean mentioned there, they're terrified. They're terrified. This is young children. That's all they're talking about. That shouldn't be their conversation. That's so sad, so it is. Mm. Like, everybody's scared. And as I said, like, anybody who knows Ballyliffin, and I'm pretty sure listeners listening here will agree, the Strand, it's like the capital of Ballyliffin. It's the main gateway. Can you imagine all these people? And again, not being racist, there's nothing to do with this. It's, where's all these people going to go? Like, we're struggling as it is. Mm. We're struggling to keep open 12 months a year. And again, I don't mean to reel in here on Pat Doherty. Like, look what just happened down the road. Like, a disaster like this. You know, we should be giving our time to Pat and Magella right now. Instead, we're solely focused on this episode up here in Ballyliffin. That's really unfair. I don't really know what more to say.
I think you've made your point. And listen, there's no talk of racism. This is about... It doesn't matter where people might come from or their race or nationality. Yes. This is about small area with a population and a change in that population, and people understand that. But I understand your clarification, but I think we've moved past that mudslinging now, and this is more just about community concerns. Thanks for your time. I do appreciate it. Kieran Doherty, who's owner of Nancy's Barn, Ballyliffin, they're speaking ahead of a meeting on the 8th of May at St. Mary's Hall. They believe it's the only chance to come together and act. You know, that Section 5 is still with the council. There's no update as to whether the exemption is granted or not. And I think if that decision, if it's been made, was made public. But then again, there's this other issue of the bollards that have appeared around the heart of the town as well. It's really quite remarkable to watch on. I'm not making any judgment call. It's not up to me to do so. I'm just observing. Michael McGonigal's owner of Ballyliffin Hotel. Michael, thanks for your time. What's your view on all of this?
Yeah, hi, Greg. Listen, I just want to concur and support what the lad said there. We're all on the same page. You were talking about the bollards there, right? But that's not our biggest concern. What concerns me is what's coming next. Mark Crossan is bringing a wrecking ball to our community, and there's not much we can do to stop it. We need public support this Thursday night for the meeting. I just prepared a short paragraph here because we didn't have time to prepare, but I just want to say this. I would like to clarify some information online about the application for the Strand Hotel. When you Google Ballyliffin iPass Centre, the first headline you read from a reputable Donegal news website is that the Strand is not under consideration. That could not be further from the truth. We've been informed by councillors that a second application was submitted 10 days ago. This time, Mark Crossan has ticked all the right boxes, and the planners will review his application next week. So the community has to know the facts. So that's where we stand. So I haven't got much else to add than that. So, yeah.
No, Michael, and listen, we spent an hour on the show clarifying that situation, and we know there was a further information request.
It's too much talk about bollards. It's what's coming next. It's really concerning me.
Well, I think the reason the bollards have come into it is that people heard this banging at 4 o'clock in the morning, and now there's large swathes of their town that are encircled with concrete. So I can understand why some residents might find that perturbing. Both sides of the street.
It's like a military operation in the middle of the night. You know,
but I understand where you're coming from as well, Michael. Listen, thanks for your time. I do appreciate it. That meeting, Thursday, 8th of May, 8 p.m, St. Mary's Hall. If you're interested in that, the reality is though, the population of Ballyliffin is such that it's going to be very well attended, but you know, I presume people in the surrounding areas will go as well. Right, John is with us as well. John, it's a different take. I mean, you live in Lochinure, and your village has taken people into the area, and what's your assessment of it?
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Greg, I'll be honest, there's no point in me lying. I used to think very similar ways to the people that have all been on so far this morning. I was very concerned. And all similar concerns as everybody else. But from living in the village and for how long they've been here now, not like crime's gone up or anything. And apparently there's over 30 of them, according to the young fella I met last week, there's over 30 of them living in this one house. The people of Lochinure, obviously, we never got no heads up or never got no incline on it. But it didn't matter. It happened. And they're there. But can I just say one thing? The other week, I unfortunately had to use the bus. The car was in the garage. And I got the bus out of Letterkenny. And a young fella got on from the house that, in particular, we're talking about, the bus stopped outside, and the young fella got on the bus. And me, as I am, I'll speak to anybody. And I spoke to the creditor, and he was from Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. He was 29 years of age. And what made me start talking to him was his wedding ring. I noticed his wedding ring, and I said, oh, you're married. And he got emotional. And he took out his phone, and he started to show me his photographs of his mother, his mother and father, and his wife, who were killed in Afghanistan by the Taliban. And he had no choice but to leave to seek a better opportunity of life, or he'd have been...
But John, I don't think anyone, and certainly no one I've spoken to this morning, would deny that man refuge in what he's been through.
The point is,
go ahead.
They're not all, listen, these people, We cannot be tarnishing every single human being. And I have to just say, it's not that long ago before this crisis came, a situation got out of hand in terms of the amount of people coming in, that we had old people getting robbed with shotguns and so on. That wasn't foreign nationals or anybody else.
No.
So the bottom line is, we seem to be jumping the gun.
I understand, John, but you do understand, though, right, that the concern here is that the entire dynamic of a tourist village changes, that the building in the centre of that becomes an iPad. It's not denying the man that you spoke to does not need help or assistance, but why not Dublin 4, I think locals are saying. You know, why not in the leafy suburbs of Dublin? Who decides that it's okay for Ballyliffin to have their population doubled?
I don't think it should be specifically to Donegal. It should be all over Ireland. I think everybody in every town should be opening up our arms and opening up our homes if you have it and stuff like that, to help people, to support people. I don't know where we've lost that. I think it doesn't matter where it is.
Yeah, I think people feel that generosity that they have is being exploited, and you know there's currently 15, 16, 17 applications for iPass centres in Donegal. Many of them have been rejected, and it's companies based in Dublin that are finding properties in Donegal to move these people in here, making tens of millions of euro in the process. So it's not about that awful situation that the gentleman you spoke to has been through. It's also about the impact it has on GP services, on hospital services, on a village of 90 people. But listen, John, I respect your view and I understand exactly where you're coming from. And I want to just a quick word with Charlie McClafferty. Charlie, you're a business person. Your business is near an iPass centre. All of the people we've spoken to so far, bar John, are business people in Ballyliffin, close to what could potentially be an iPass centre. What's your comment on this?
Yeah, Greg, thanks for taking it on there. There was an iPass centre opened roughly about 100 yards from my business with no consultation. I contacted the department. They told me that, has the community engagement team not been in contact with you? There never was one. It opened. Our business has gone down 18% to 20%, and the main reason being, after 6:30, 7 o'clock in the evening, people have told me they don't feel safe on the bottom end of Letterkenny at the evening time. And then you just mentioned it there, but another proposed committee for Donegal, Greg.
Yeah, and that's a dramatic drop in business, Charlie, 20%. I'm not sure there's many businesses could absorb that.
No, Greg, the whole thing has gone completely mad. The government have to do something, and our public representatives have to stand up for the people. The people have been left that margin that are getting, whether you agree with it or you don't agree with it. The people had to take it on themselves. The public reps let them down. It's time to stand up and man up and woman up, whatever it may be, and stand with the people.
And are you saying that the decline in your business has been sort of more towards the evening? Is it that people are avoiding going into the area where your business is? I'm not putting words in your mouth, Charlie. I know you indicated that. I just want to be clear what you believe that the issue is.
I'm going to call it out as it is. When the people who work 9 to 5 or 8 to 6, whatever, go home in the evening time, the town sort of comes to a different stage.
The demographics change.
The demographics.
Okay, I get you right. Okay, so it doesn't necessarily, but it doesn't mean that anything bad is happening. It's a perception, and that perception is damaging your business.
Well, another 100 yards from my business, there was a young girl violently and brutally raped,
which is a case before the court. So we have to be. We don't want to compromise. I'm not trying to bury it. We just don't want to compromise the potential outcome of that case. I get you. Uh-huh. Okay, listen, Charlie, thank you. Yes, go ahead.
Can I mention something else?
Yes, go ahead, of course.
There was a proposed, and a lot of your listeners might know this, but there was a proposed iPass centre for Fortwell.
Mm-hmm.
That second floor on that iPass centre was going to be looking in to the Loretto Convent's training pitch, looking straight into it. Now, I've been told today by a county councillor, I won't name him because I won't put him on the spot, that iPass centre hasn't been approved.
Yeah, Caroline, do you have my list of Section 5s there? I think Fort Well was deemed not to be exempt, but the writing's so bloody small on what I printed. Caroline, if you could just check Fort Well, it's on there, and just, I believe it was deemed to be not exempt from planning, which doesn't mean that can't be appealed or a separate planning application. But I had all this printed out, because, as you know, Charlie, I'm not doubting what you're saying, but it's important that we're operating on absolute certainty. I'll double-check that. I know there's a couple pending for Letterkenny, but I believe Fort Well's one that was... I'll clarify that once I come back from the break. For now, Charlie, thanks.
Well,
I don't know
could
what,
just make the
yeah,
point
of
that,
course.
That if that I-Pass Centre does go ahead, that it is straight across the road from a place where people are living in sheltered accommodation, mostly elderly people, and the second floor is looking on to the training pitch of the Loretto Convent, which is a disgrace.
Yeah. Okay. As I say, I should have that list in front of me, but I don't. My apologies. All right, Charlie, listen, thanks for that. I'll let you know afterwards if that Section 5 was granted or not. Chris Ashmore's on the way with Business News too. Right, you're very welcome back to the programme. The weather continuing nice and sunny today. A bit of cloud about, temperatures 15 to 18 degrees. Chris Ashmore's in studio with me, Business Matters time. Chris, how are you getting on?
Good morning, Greg.
It's great to have you with us. Right, let's start with a bit of news, because I haven't been given any notes or else I've misplaced them.
Okay. There was a survey carried out recently about absenteeism rates in businesses.
And I'm back in the game.
Yeah. Now, this survey found out the anticipated, they're forecasting for this year in companies, 8.5%. So obviously there's a knock-on effect for companies if you've an absenteeism rate of 8.5%, and this ties in with having a healthy, happy workplace and the importance of having a workforce that are content in what they're doing. And also, of course, we still have hybrid working, economic pressures and stress levels. So lots of contributing factors that can all lead to absenteeism as well as health issues.
A lot of talk about AI and its contribution to business. There's a big thing going on down in Dublin at the moment and some fantastic ideas that I wish I could have thought of.
Well, we're just waiting for you to come up and divulge the details. But as you say, yeah, look, it's very much in the news, and I've been watching some quite fascinating things on television recently. There's an event coming up here in Letterkenny tomorrow morning, in fact, 8:30 to 10:00 in the PGIM, the Prudential premises in the Letterkenny Business Park. Use AI in your business is the name of the event. There'll be expert panelists there with some showing some practical ways about how businesses can harness the power of AI, and more details available through Letterkenny Chamber if you're interested in that.
Coffee breaks in the workforce.
Yeah, I don't know if you're a tea or a coffee man, but...
Coffee at work, tea at home.
Tea at home, right. Well, they did a study, Codex Office Solutions did a study about the role of tea and coffee breaks in the workplace. And 70% of workers take two or more tea or coffee breaks daily. 65% of them said they were very important for their well-being. And they did a survey on the most popular brands, Lion's Tea, the favourite 32%, just edging out Barry's on 31%. And Nescafe won the honours in terms of coffee at 31%. Now, 1 in 6 respondents keep their beverage breaks less than 5 minutes, but 16% in admitted to indulging in longer breaks. So everybody likes a coffee.
I can pick these people out as well. Come here, ICS Mortgage have a new product out there.
Yeah, now this may be of particular interest to first-time buyers. ICS Mortgages have a new product. Now, essentially, you go on to your normal fixed rate, but the first 2 years, Greg, are interest only. So this lowers your payment. So by way of example, if you'd a €250,000 mortgage over 30 years, the normal rate on their mortgages would be €1,229 a month. But the 2 year discount, your interest only, is €885. So it's about €400 less a month. So the idea is this would help people maybe moving into a house for the first time. Of course, it's added on at the end and it will put it up. But it's just certainly an option that many people would be interested in, because if you're saving 400 quid a month, In the short term, you do pay in the long term, but it can be that little helping hand.
But then what happens is at the end, you look at your total owed after a few years and it's the same, if not a little bit more. And, you know, you talk about wasted money at rent.
Yeah.
I think if you're going down that route, you might be worried about how you might meet your payments in the long term. But I've done it in the past and it helped me out too. Yeah. Right. Okay. A few diary items for us?
Yeah, well, we've mentioned the AI one. Also, just to let you know, local enterprise office hosting an in-person business supports clinic. That's in Killybegs on Friday the 23rd of May, so you can register for that now, and it gets underway on that Friday at 10 in the morning.
Right, so what's coming up on the show today?
The Business Matters programme this week is all about the Blas na hÉireann Awards. These are the Irish Food Awards for food and drink. Many people may be familiar with the little Great Taste logo on lots of products. Donegal firms have done really well on this over the years, and it's a blind taste testing that's carried out by the judges. So you could be a one-person operation. You've made a new tomato ketchup or something. You could be up against Heinz, who knows. So it's all about the taste. There's gold, silver and bronze awards, overall awards. And companies have found that if they get one of the awards, they stick the logo on, best taste, and it does boost sales. So it's a win-win all round. Fallon Moore is the event coordinator, and we have a clip here, and she explains essentially what it's all about.
It's fantastic for us. We're heading into another year of the Irish Food Awards, and they were founded so a quality benchmark could be established for Irish food and drink producers all across the island. We were founded by a producer, Artie Clifford, who wanted to see something which could be a level competition for producers from all across the island to have a chance to put their best foot forward with food and drinks and to be recognised for what they do and the work that they do. So we're heading into 18 years of the awards now. Everything in the competition comes down to the taste of the product. So our judges are looking at the sample in front of them. They don't know who has made it, where it's come from. So from a producer's point of view, particularly for a new producer or somebody starting out or trialing a new product, they're competing potentially against some of the bigger players, but on a completely level playing field. So for us, we head into a summer now where we undertake the blind tasting, which takes place right across the country. We'll have all of our entries will be delivered in the summer, and we'll have those tasted right through May, June and July to establish who of our finalists will be through to the awards this year.
Yeah, and there's some brilliant companies out there. Actually, you were talking about an enterprise day down in the Mount Errigal, and I was given some of the products from Nomadic Dairies here in Donegal. Brilliant stuff. It looked to all intents and purposes, this stuff was from wherever, you know, fantastic packaging. Slightly addicted to them at the moment. I think they've tied in with the Donegal County team now. There's just brilliant companies going that if you saw this Nomadic product on the shelf, for example, firstly, it's absolutely delicious. But secondly, you wouldn't actually know that this is a Convoy company, I believe. Mm-hmm. You know, that, so brilliant stuff happening all over the place. So your entire podcast is available right now.
That's right. And the program itself goes out on Sunday after the 6 o'clock news. And also there's a little bit in the program as well, just on retrofitting of homes, if you're interested in that as well. So
I was interested and I've done a bit of it. I'm getting less interested, but
it's not going to go away.
But it's the hoops one must jump through. Yeah. Chris, and you can be contacted.
Best way is by email, so it's businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Thanks, Chris. Now, just a bit of clarity here. My apologies if I misled anyone. Whether the use of residential apartments at Fortwell Court Apartments, Fortwell Letterkenny, where care is not provided as long-term residential accommodation for protected person is not development. The decision was made by the council and reads as follows. The proposal is development and is exempted development as the development falls within the scope of Class 14H of Part 1 of Schedule 2 of the Planning and Development Regulations, as I mentioned. So that looks to me, and I'm open to correction on it, as that Section 5 was actually granted as it was deemed to be development, but exempted development. So sorry if I misled Charlie or any of you in that last comment. We can catch up on that again tomorrow. Have a fantastic day, will you? We'll be back at 9 in the morning. Stay safe, stay tuned.